This is Will's Band of the Week for April 14th, 2024. And welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Craig from the Ipswich Bureau.
Here I am.
The Ipswich Bureau's looking good. Looks like some fresh paint back there.
Yeah, everyone I do a video call with comments on this, which is, it must catch the eye of the video caller.
I think you were, the last time we talked, you were sort of in process with the painting. I can't remember if that room was already done, but you said you had a lot of painting to do. So it was on my mind.
Yeah, you and other people who are talking to me via the video call cannot see what I can see. In front of me, a half-painted wall.
Ah, yeah, you can't have that in camera view. Yeah.
No, as long as this window, narrow window behind me looks good, everyone says, oh, your room's looking good.
Exactly, yeah. But the books behind you, are those CDs too, or just all books back there?
Yeah, there's some CDs there. And some books, yeah.
So they're too small to be able to see them, but I know how people curate their background, you know, to try to have the coolest things back there. So I'm sure if we could zero in, you'd be proven to be very cool.
The only CDs I have left that I haven't sold are CDs of extreme sentimental value and the ones which have no monetary value at all on the resale market.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
So I only have the best and the worst remaining.
I think I have a few CDs lying around somewhere. Yeah, I did that same thing with LPs. I kept some that had sentimental value, and then finally I just unloaded those to a local record store, or a guy that ran the local record store. So it was kind of fun. I thought they were going to a good home.
Yeah, LPs have gone through a very strange... There was a period of time when you could get, like, LPs of Heroes by David Bowie, or I don't know, could just... any... Bob Dylan, let's say the late 90s, probably, LPs were worth nothing. Literally, people would take them to the skip, is what we call the, I don't know what you call it in the US, where you just take all of your old trash to a central location in your city and drop it off. The dump, yeah. Or the skip. You know, people are just throwing out some of the most valuable LPs. Now they'd be worth hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, they shouldn't have thrown those things out. Yeah.
It's funny how these trends go around. People thought this vinyl was worthless.
Yeah. I always thought it was funny, and I think it still happens somewhat. You go into a store that has used vinyl, and you can tell what albums got way overprinted, right? <That's> like, because they have a ton of copies of them. It's like they just couldn't get rid of them. But yeah.
We had an on-running joke about that. If you went to the thrift stores in the early 2000s in the UK here, you would always see the Blue Tones album. I think it's Expecting to Fly or Learning to Fly, one of the two. And also JJ72, the first album, the black one with just their band name on the sleeve.
It was just everywhere, huh?
Any thrift store. Which is, both of those are good albums. So it's not that, I don't know if they were overprinted so much, overproduced, or just... I don't know. They sold a hell of a lot of copies, and then everyone just gave it away, I suppose.
Yeah. Ah, that's great. Fun stuff. Well, I guess we should start rocking, right? Because that's what this podcast is all about. There cannot be a Craig podcast appearance without live reports. Doesn't happen. Has it ever happened? I think maybe it's happened like once or twice.
Yeah, well, the COVID days.
Of course.
And then they're coming back from that period when...
Yeah.
Yeah, but I like to think it's rare.
Right. Well, I've even got a live report this time. Is that exciting or what?
It is. Who wants to go first here?
Well, I'll go first. Yours will be probably more entertaining. Well,
it's
no,
your
I think
podcast,
my, I'm going
to have the right.
I'm going to have the confidence to say that mine's going to be a pretty good live report. So, this was announced probably 2 or 3 months ago, but there's a little tour segment with Rat Boys and Ducks Limited, and I think it was maybe 2 or 3 weeks or something, and the last show of that tour that they were doing together was here in Madison at the Student Union, the Memorial Union, and there's a room in there called the Rat Skeller, and that's... It's been around for, I was going to say forever, but not literally forever, but forever in my experience when I was a student. So this dates back to the 80s, you know, so it's, that room's been there for, you know, over 50 years, I'm sure. Anyway, a lot of bands have played there, and it's a very kind of strange room. It's like a German beer hall type space, and pretty small. It's got a stage that's about 8 inches high. So if you're in the back, you can't really see that well. So the people tend to kind of crowd up to the front just because it's just not that good from back farther. I think they've upgraded the sound system, though. I noticed some mounted overhead speakers that I didn't remember being there before. Anyway, so I'm like, okay, Rat Boys and Ducks Limited for free. Let's do it. So, and my wife went with me, which was really cool. And I ran into some music friends there, which was also really cool. And I ran into, like, band members. This was great. So I'm expecting Ducks Limited to come out, and suddenly out appears Meredith from the band Colatura, who I had seen a couple of years ago in Austin. And I'm like, wait a minute. So she has a band now called Work Wife, and they were the surprise opener. So it's kind of cool.
Oh, that's cool.
So... Even though we were, you know, went in there prepared to see two bands, we ended up seeing three. But it was good. It was worthwhile. Then Ducks Limited played, and I just love them. They're just great. I know you're familiar. You're generally a fan of Ducks Limited, right?
I am a fan, yeah.
Have you ever seen them live?
Not yet.
They have the bass player is just... it's, you have to see it. It's just so great. And the drummer, all their parts are recorded with a drum machine, and they sometimes really run that thing fast. I'm thinking, but they have a live drummer, so it's like he's got to play all those parts, and it was fun to just to see how they did it. And very enthusiastic, very high energy, and we were standing basically in front of the bass amp, so we heard the bass at like double volume. So fortunately, the bass was great. So it was kind of a unbalanced mix from where we were, but really great. And then Rat Boys, you know, I'm kind of lukewarm on Rat Boys. And we watched about half of the set, and my wife said she was getting tired, and we decided to leave in the middle. But on our way out, we ran into the Ducks Limited people and talked to them for a little bit. And I asked Tom, the singer, what their immediate future touring plans were, and he said, told me they were going to be going to Europe, and I said, well, are you going to be in Brighton? I'm going to be going to the Great Escape, and he said, oh yeah, we're playing there on Friday night. So,
oh yeah,
scoop.
Very exciting.
There's a scoop, because they're not even on the official list right now. I said, I didn't see you on the list. He said, yeah, it's some kind of late announcement, I guess. Anyway, super nice guys. You know, they're Canadian, nice, cool people. Then we ran into the members of Work Wife on our way out, talked to them for a couple minutes, so it was cool. And I'm not the guy that always talks to the bands, but my wife is like, she wants to thank them for how great they are and stuff, so it was just great, so it was really fun.
Yeah, it's good to have no inhibitions like that, you know, because I try to think I'm cool and I'd be ashamed of what the bands would think of me. I'm too embarrassed to go up to them. But it's nice to just be a relaxed, cool person and just say, hey, thanks so much for coming to play. I really enjoyed it. And of course they're not going to think badly of you if you do that.
And it almost seems like not enough people actually do that, because when we were talking to the Ducks Limited people, they really had this, they all had this look on their face like, oh, this is cool. These people are thanking us. You know what I mean? It was like, it was like there wasn't anybody else like hanging out. They were the merch table was like right next to the stage, but there was like a curtain in between. Mm. So here's the other thing. I actually talked to the drummer about having to play drums created from originally drum machine parts. And I said, man, I was thinking that might be a challenge. Some of those parts are really fast. And he was kind of laughing and said, yeah, I do my best, you know. And then as I was walking out, I said, real human is better than a drum machine. And they got a laugh out of them. So it was fun.
Is every event at the Memorial Union free, always?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty good setup.
I don't know if
you
ever
see something that's gonna is announced there, you know it's gonna be free.
I think they might have done some ticketing like right after COVID, you know, to limit the number of people or something. But I don't know of any. The bigger shows are the ones they do outside, and it's a much bigger space. And it was actually nice enough; they almost could have done it last night, but they haven't officially opened the outdoor terrace for shows yet. But they'll do, you know, there'll be music every weekend through the summer, and every once in a while it's an indie rock thing. So, yeah, pretty cool.
I wonder if hopefully the sun will be shining when I'm there in June. We can go for a beer at the patio, even if no music's there.
Right, absolutely, yeah. And you never know what they might announce there. So it'd be cool. It's tough when you're going to be here for just two nights, right?
Yes, it's luck only.
To be able to
if
get
something
a,
happens.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Looking forward to that. All right, now it's your turn for the live report.
Here we go. Enjoyable listens.
You were talking about them. I didn't realize, because you said they have a new thing that just came out, right?
Yeah, I knew it. I guess I should have realized it was the album launch show, but I hadn't quite registered with me that the album was, in fact, out.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was away on holiday when it came out, so that's my excuse anyway. So album came out, 1 week later was the album launch show, and that's what I went to.
Cool.
What do you expect? It's in the name. Enjoyable listens.
Was it enjoyable?
Oh, this thing. I don't know how much you know about this. He's like a cross between Nation of Language and Hamish Hawke. And if listeners don't know Hamish Hawke, then we can say Morrissey is a good proxy, really.
Mm-hmm.
But more lounge singer. Imagine Morrissey in his most Sunday afternoon lounge singer vibes.
Huh.
It's very tongue-in-cheek, enjoyable listens. He has a backing track, a live bass player, and a bit of live keyboard this time, a synthesizer. But the backing track is the most of the music, so obviously no drummer.
Mm.
And it's, I don't know, the music's not really a significant part of the entertainment for me, which is very strange when you're talking about a live music show, but it's the between song banter is absolutely hilarious. So you know that every 3 minutes you're going to have some chat from him, which is going to be funny. And so you just kind of suffer. No, you don't suffer through the music. You enjoy the music, and then you really enjoy the banter.
It sounds like TV's Daniel from your description.
Yeah, I guess pretty much. I guess with both acts. I do enjoy the music, but it's not really the most important part. It took place at Paper Dress Vintage, which is a 130 capacity. I used to think they sold vintage paper dresses, but I don't think that's the case. I think it's just as vintage clothing of all types.
Mm.
So if you go into the clothing store, there's a little bar there, and then upstairs, and there's 130 people. What else could I say about it? It was enjoyable. Yep, enjoyable listens is in the name.
Cool that you can see something in a venue that small.
I don't think he would play to very poor people. Oh, this is what he was saying. You've reminded me. He said, this is one of his between song. I think it's after the first or second song he was saying, well, welcome back to Paper Dress Vintage. I remember 4 years ago, I had the first farewell show for enjoyable listens here at this venue. And there were 7 people here.
Oh, my God.
And 5 of them are here now. But he said, look, here we are. That was the farewell show 4 years ago, and here we are. We're still doing this, so thanks very much. And that got a good cheer, you know. So
that's pretty good. I should have mentioned, it's Madison Music News. The venue, formerly known as The Frequency, which is just legendary, they got bought out or converted or whatever, and they were called Barley Pop Live. But it seemed like the Barley Pop Live people just never really did anything with it. They would have just sort of occasional shows and like only on weekends, and there wasn't a whole lot going on there. So a few months ago that closed, and now it's reopening under a new manager, and it's a guy that's been around Madison Music for like a decade or so, and it has a capacity, I think he said they're going to have a capacity of 118. So it'll be a small venue that, you know, that I think we need in Madison. Hopefully he'll bring some indie rockers in. So time will tell. They're supposed to open in June. It's going to be called the Gamma Ray Bar. So you heard it here first. You probably did not hear it here first if you are in Madison. And if you're not in Madison, maybe you don't care. So I don't know how relevant that is. Maybe we'll have some. It just, I thought of it when you talked about the small capacity venue.
Yeah, these small places, they're the heart of the scene. That, you know, that's still 50% bigger than the Smokehouse.
The Smokehouse is what? 75? That's unbelievable. Oh, I love it. I love it.
I will be going to the Smokehouse next week. This is a good segue. Oh, do I need to do a India travel report?
Sure.
People don't care about my vacation. I went on holiday to India. There we go. That's the report.
Cool. Was it good or not? Just tell us that.
Oh, well, India is, you know, we have a colleague, of course, Anurag, who has Indian heritage. So, and I'm sure he'll be the first to say that India is a mixed place.
Mm-hmm.
Some absolutely amazing, wonderful things, a fascinating culture, so many, deeply, deeply religious country. 0.2% of people don't identify as having a religion, which is so different to where I'm from and where
wow.
I grew up. And
yeah.
So you have all of that going on around you. The devoutness of their practicing their faith is just amazing to see. From Hindu to Christian to Islam, even we saw one synagogue as well. So, but then the bad, the pollution and the overpopulation, the poverty, is quite sad to see.
Mm-hmm.
And you wish you could do something to help, but you can't, obviously. And so
yeah.
But focusing on the good, the food, the weather, the people. All the things that are usually good when you travel.
And any post-punk in India?
We did have an opportunity to see a jazz sitar show, but we didn't take the opportunity.
Hmm.
Well, no, not much of a music scene going on, but it's a different culture. You don't travel to do the same things you could do at home necessarily.
Sure. Yeah. All right. That's a good travel report. I mean, to be able to abbreviate that. This is from your editing skills, right? That you know how to take what could be 2 hours worth of reporting and you culled it down to the essential minute and a half.
Yeah. Very humans skillful. Do tend this way. As an editor, I've seen this perhaps more than some, but people don't want to listen to someone rambling on, no matter what the topic. You just got to be concise.
That's why they turn our podcast off sometimes.
Yeah. Well, people have already turned us off already.
All right, we got to start rocking before they turn it off. Well, how about now podcast veterans, Gustav?
Yeah, let's do it.
So, yeah, they came out with a new album. And they, I think you introduced them to me when we talked about their first album, right? And this is number 2. Do I have that right?
I'm going to go back to the archives now and have a look. Will and Craig discuss Ducks Limited, Gustav, and W.H. Lung.
That's a pretty good lineup.
On the 18th of October, 21.
That's a solid lineup.
Yeah, Christ, whenever I look back and see how long ago these things were.
Yeah, it's a two and a half years ago. It'd be 2.5, right? From, yeah, 2.5 years.
21. Yes, I think you're right. My apologies.
That's still a while.
Yeah, okay. Not as long as I thought. Still too long.
Yeah. So the new album is called Package Part 2, which I guess is descriptive. Well, let's play a track, then we can talk about it from there. So I'm going to give you the first pick.
Wow, big responsibility. I'm going to go with track 4, Starting and Staring. Liar!
That's Gustav from Brooklyn. And don't you think it has kind of a Brooklyn sound? I was thinking of a couple of New York bands that it reminded me of.
Well, I do think they do have the most Brooklyn sound imaginable. If you looked up Brooklyn sound in the audio dictionary, this could be there. But it's also a very Athens, Georgia sound.
Oh, that's interesting. I had not thought of that.
I bet we discussed it 2.5 years ago. We'll have to go back. Yeah, I just, such a B-52s. We talk about every band being influenced by the B-52s, so it can't always be right, but it seems like it must be right here.
The bands that are influenced by the B-52s always seem like they're good, too. So it's like the legacy of the B-52s is pretty great. I don't know why, but I started thinking about LCD Sound System and Bodega a little bit. I guess that's the Brooklyn sound, maybe.
It's funny you say that. Yeah. Until you said LCD Sound System there, I thought I would never have thought of it. But that song did. Something about that bass line did have it, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and it has like this punchy, rhythmic kind of dancey kind of vibe to it. So let's see. Let's play another track, and then I have another observation. And I'm going to do the obvious and play track 2 called Close. Another successful track 2, I would say, from Gustav.
Yes, that's a good pick. The songs, Lydia's vocal is just really front and center, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
The song's kind of driven forward by the vocals.
So the thing I was going to mention is that legendary indie rock writer Bill Paris, who writes the Bill's Indie Basement column on Brooklyn Vegan, and he's got great taste. So he reviewed this, and he said he doesn't think it can quite live up to their live show. Like what's great about them is their live show, and he thinks this album in particular doesn't quite, just can't match up to it or whatever. So I don't know. I felt like the album can stand on its own. It might be a little inconsistent. Maybe like toward the end of the album, there are a few tracks that aren't quite as punchy and inspiring, but overall I thought it was good.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that comment. I don't see them as being consistently the same band in both media, but then I don't know if any band is really.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different experience listening to them to what it is going to the shows, but I wouldn't say either is bad.
Right.
It's such an interesting. Yeah. I guess this could be a critical. It could sound like you're criticizing someone if you say they're interesting. But
sure.
It's kind of challenging. This isn't just four guys in tight jeans with guitars doing
right.
a typical. You know, how many millions of bands have there been doing that? And right. there's lots of that out there if you want that. This
right.
It is a little bit more not easy listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, now you're going to pick one more track that's going to completely and perfectly encapsulate your last comment.
Well, I could have done if I picked. I'm going to be silly and pick the 45-second one. I'm sorry. Because I just. Well, it's just the kind of thing I like. And when it came on, it was a breath of fresh air. Track 8, Hard Hair.
45-second will sue us for playing a whole 45-second track.
It's possible.
There was actually a second. There were like 2 seconds of silence on there, and I only played 1 second of the silence. So that was only 44 of the 45 seconds. So that was not the whole track, just to be clear.
Yeah, the stupid mistake I made is really that is what probably the most conventional sounding indie rock song on the album, but it totally goes against what I was saying before. I feel like that one is more guitar driven and kind of thing that's just more accessible and easy. The others are driven by her vocal, and the bass and drum, the rhythm section is really up, and then the guitar is really in the back quite often.
Yeah, definitely a worthy band. Should we play a bonus track, or should we just leave it because we did do 3?
Bonus. Come on.
One more?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. What's it going to be? We're still on your choice, I think.
Again?
I'm going to make you choose it. Yeah.
Number 6, Weighing Me Down.
Talked about this last time, I think the that detuned low voice is actually a woman singing or talking into some kind of voice effect thing.
you either love it or you hate it, the detuned low voice.
Yeah, and that was another funny South by Southwest moment a couple of years ago when I saw them and then ran into her afterwards just walked past her, so I just had to make a comment, like, I asked her what it was like, you know, having your vocals like processed like that, and she's made some funny comment, like it's she takes on a new persona or something. It was just funny. Yeah, I kind of when I first heard that, I was sort of turned off by it, but now I've kind of adjusted to it. It's like just part of the band's sound, you know. And it's kind of it feels like a humor element in there too, right? I mean, it's not totally serious. It's just a way of making an interesting sound.
Yep.
All right, I think we did it justice. Gustav, the album Package Part 2. If you like those tracks, then you'll probably like the album, right?
I think so. Yeah, fair representation.
All right. Now we should have the transition music now. We don't have that, though. So we just keep on talking. And our next band is called Holiday Ghosts from... where's Falmouth?
That is in Cornwall.
Oh, so Western, Southwest England.
I'm going to pull out an estimate and say it's 350 miles from me. And now I'm going to look that up. I'm typing as we speak. How far is it? 363 miles.
Oh,
there you
my
go.
God,
come
you're
on,
good.
Guys. That's why I'm paid the big money.
You are good. So I think I might have looked that up earlier. But, okay, wait. That can't be right. That is right. It's way over there. It's like way in the corner.
Yeah. Truly beautiful part of England down there in the southwest, Cornwall, yeah.
I have ancestors from Cornwall, so maybe I should go there sometime.
Falmouth wouldn't be the worst place. You won't be surprised to hear, or maybe, well, given what I've just said about how beautiful it is, it's the real holiday destination. So in the school summer holidays, July and August, Cornwall gets absolutely jammed because there's beautiful beaches all around. Well, if you see how it goes into that kind of peninsula.
Right, yeah.
All that coastline, there's the beaches, so it gets absolutely jammed. So when you do visit, pick a off-peak time is my recommendation.
You always have the good travel tips, Craig. Just everybody listen to Craig.
Do you know what else you can do? If you go to Paddington Station in London, that's in the west of London, there's an overnight train service to Cornwall. So you buy your sleeper carriage ticket. It's like two single beds arranged one above the other in a little private cabin for two people. You buy your that counts as a first class ticket. So from 9 p.m. you can go to Paddington, go to the first class lounge for a cup of tea or coffee and some, you would call them cookies, we would call them biscuits, and you'd call them chips, we'd call them crisps. Some light snacks, some fruit.
Yep.
At 11 p.m. the train departs. And you get to Cornwall around 7 a.m. the next morning, fully rested after a lovely sleep on the train.
Boy, this is sounding fun.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
And then when you get there, you can go see Holiday Ghosts live if they happen to be playing.
That would be good.
So I can't even remember how I found the band Holiday Ghosts, but they were coming to Austin, so I put them on my list and I saw them there. And it was one of those, I'll say minimalist, like it's cool cause you're right in front, like you can be at these small gigs, but it was in one of the bars at the Hotel Vegas and they didn't have any lights on. It was during the day. So the only light in there was the light coming in from the door and the window kind of off to the side. It was really bizarre. I was like, don't they have, you know, overhead lights also? I don't know. They just weren't even on. So, yeah, but fun band.
Yeah, they're new. This is new to me. This is their fifth album.
Yeah, they've been around a while.
They're a new band to me. Well, I'm obviously out of touch.
So, yeah, I in my way too long South by Southwest write-up, that if you want to read it, go to willsband.net and scroll down to it. I think I said something like they had a true indie rock sound. Like they don't have a big sound. They don't have a highly produced sound. They just play some songs and they're pretty cool. And also the drummer is the singer. So that makes them cool also.
That is cool.
So, all right. Why don't I just do my obvious thing? I'll start it out by picking track two. It's a really good one. It's fun. It's called Big Congratulations. That's Holiday Ghosts. The album is called Coat of Arms.
Well, it's the perfect song, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you'd said, if you just sent me a clip and said, Craig, I found a new band for you from Melbourne, Australia. Or if you said it's a new album from Dick Diver or something, or the Go-Betweens, previously unreleased track from the Go-Betweens, you can believe it.
It's funny that you say that because I was playing it in the car and my son said, is this band from Australia? I said, that's an astute observation. They sound like they are, kind of, but not.
Yeah, it's right in my, well, what'd you say, wheelhouse. Let's say it.
Good. Good, I'm glad. So let's play another track.
Well, that was one of my picks, but then I listened once through and wrote down, well, four things without even thinking any further about it. It's all so good. Catchy, jangly pop. So I was going to pick one of those from my list. Number 9, I'm Still Here.
Holiday Ghosts. So I mentioned that they came to Austin seeking indie rock stardom, but the real indie rock stardom comes next week when they make an appearance at the Smokehouse.
I'm right? pretty excited, having listened to the album, and I bought my ticket. I'll be there.
Oh, that's awesome. One of the 80 people maximum who can be there.
Yeah. I can leave from the door of my house, which is there on my right-hand side. The listeners can't see anything, but they can just imagine this. If I walk at a medium pace, I could be there in 20 minutes. I think I'll leave here about 8:05, get there for the opener at 8:30. Perfect.
Do you know who the opener is?
No, I don't know if anything's listed. It would be pretty rare. I'm looking it up now. No, nothing stated. There better be one. Otherwise, no. It'll be fine.
Totally cool. That's really fun. Didn't you say is there a venue right next to the Smokehouse? Like another place that's a little bit bigger? I thought you were telling me that, or maybe it's just another Ipswich place.
There is a slightly bigger one across the street and around the corner, maybe 5 minutes away. Mm. I haven't been there yet, called the Baths.
Hmm.
Used to be a swimming bath, maybe? I guess that's why it's called that. It's pretty poor that I haven't been. I think it's been open a couple of years.
Well, they need to bring the worthy acts that will bring you out. It's their job to draw you in, right?
That's true, actually. If who could play there? If Enjoyable Listeners played there... I'd be queuing up outside from 5 p.m.
Yep. All right. Cool. Well, should we play one more track from Holiday Ghosts?
I think we should do that.
Well, tell me if this one's on your list. If it's not, you can pick a different one. I was thinking number 5, Sublime Disconnect.
Well, it wouldn't be a bad choice, but it's not on my list.
All right. Well, I can turn it back to you.
Let's do it. Number 10, Shoot for Peace.
I actually had that one on my list also.
Yes.
So, yeah, let's do it.
Thank you.
Holiday Ghosts. The album is called Coat of Arms.
Good stuff. Very, very excited about this.
Again, if you liked the tracks we played, that would be a good indication of whether or not you'll like the album. But they're a good live band. But I think they have a 5-person band. It's either 4 or 5. But there's enough people to make some cool sounds with those guitars. And the singing drummer is totally cool.
Have you gone back at all to the previous releases? I don't know if this is a representative of their earlier stuff. If they've got four other albums as good as this, that'll be quite something.
I'm actually going to have to look it up and see. I'm going to look it up right now. If I had any of the earlier albums in my library.
Brooklyn Vegan said, Absolute Reality, their fourth album, which is the one before this, has a wonderful ramshackle air. Mid-fi ambience, or ambiance, whichever you prefer, really suits jangly, strummy earworms. Well, that really sounds quite similar to this album, so that's a good sign.
Yeah, I didn't have it in my library, but I'm sure I sampled it when I was doing my Austin research and made a good impression. I mean, to make it on my list, you got to be pretty good, right?
Well, really, that's all we need to know.
All right. I think we did it justice. And now, you're going to introduce this next one.
From the sublime to the ridiculous.
Right.
Oh, poor old Comet Gain. They're still churning away. Wild Spring Poems, the first album in 5 years. Now I said incorrectly 3.5 years gap earlier for Ducks Limited and Gustav. But yeah, 5 years, Comet Gain, that's quite scary.
Yeah.
Because they began in the early 90s. So even by 5 years ago, they'd already been going a long time. But now it's 5 years more than that.
I did not realize it had been so long. because we talk, it seems like they're not uncommon. I mean, we've talked about them a few times on the podcast, right?
Yeah. And I think I was talking to Amanda earlier and she said, well, I'd heard of them in the 90s, but when I met you, I would have assumed they weren't still going. But then you started talking about them, and so I realized they were. And she said, did Will and colleagues know about them independently of you? And you did. You were talking about them on the podcast before I joined the ranks here. So,
well, that's now I feel good about myself.
Yeah, there must have been somehow they made a bit of an impression in the States, around 2008 or 10 or something.
Yeah, I don't remember how I probably would have guessed I found out about them from you, but I guess I knew about them before. and then there was that thing, Cinema Red and Blue. Is that's on the Bandcamp page?
Yeah, that's a super group of Comet Gain and Crystal Stilts, and maybe a couple of other.
Because I remember liking that a lot. Yeah. So,
a super group is a bit generous, but
right. This seems like sort of like a David Christian solo album, more than an actual Comet Gain album, sort of, doesn't it?
It does, but then he's done a lot of releases where he says, this is David Christian on my own, and he specifically says, this is Comet Gain. And remember there was that tweet from the producer of this album, who hasn't done the best job, let's be honest, but anyway, who said Comet Gain in the studio. So I do think this is a genuine Comet Gain release, but I know what you mean. It does seem David Christian vehicle for sure.
Yeah. Sometimes it sounds like it's demos for what would later become an actual Comet Gain album.
Yeah.
So,
but, yeah, listeners are getting a sense here. This isn't their classic album where they're going to win new fans. However, I think if you can fight your way through the loose production and some of the more self-indulgent aspects, I think there are some. You could fans can still find some stuff that they've always liked about Comet Gain hidden within there, buried within there.
Yeah, definitely. All right, this is not on the streaming services as of the time we're recording this, but it is on Bandcamp. So we're going to play some tracks off of Bandcamp. So what should we start with?
I'm going to say track 4, The Ballad for Shirley Lee.
We could have been contenders, you and me. We were both wild-hearted outsiders. Spoken word, jangle, jagged outliners. And classic, unrequited one-liners. Because, that's all we have got. And maybe we'll get somewhere yet. But surely, it never happened. We were beaten by reality. Surely, well, the kids left us at the death of the scene. We've been plowing this field so long. I'm glad you're still writing good songs. The last mild-mannered outsiders, the last brown corduroy trousers. Yeah, surely.
Comet Gain. Yeah, that's worthy, definitely.
Yep, I had to. I tried my best to find one that wouldn't get the listeners turning off. No, it's just a nice indie pop ballad, I think. So nothing offensive there.
Right. Don't you think the whole thing, though, it's the way it's recorded is just like maybe he just wants it to sound lo-fi. But there, you know, there's been Comet Gain releases that have been very, I mean, I don't want to say very hi-fi, but like not lo-fi, right? So. It's interesting whether that was just an artistic choice or whether he's gone low budget or something.
Yeah, it is a more, I guess he's getting older. It happens to everyone. It's happening to all of us right now. And it is a more slow, there aren't many of the more upbeat tracks for which they're known, I guess.
Well, I think this is a general violation, but I think track one has a lot of the, you know, the old Comet Gain appeal and should be included in our discussion. So let's play that one. Postcard from the Singer, Blankets.
So the music comes back to being required to give people strength, if you like. The entertainment and rock music and everything is there to bring optimism.
Yeah, this is the Singer here. Come and take your shoes off. I've got wine and beer. Please use the sofa, ain't no use to me. I'm too restless, I'm too hopeless. I'm breaking down, I'm a walking tear. But isn't that what you wanna hear from me? The songwriter breaks his own back to give you rhymes, fill up times. And in my spine, a little empathy's to shine a light on what life's like. To shine a light on what life's like. And I was the singer, and this was his song. I like to cycle to the shops and listen to music as I go. Water, coffee, juice and toilet roll. And something for the soul. I need to find something else. I need to find out what I was. I need to find some words for you. Because we need to get out of.
Comet Gain, Wild Spring Poems is the album title.
Yeah, I was just searching. That was a good pick. And it's funny, it probably is the best song on the album, but I just listened straight through it and thought, well, I can't write that down for my picks because it's track one. So it's a bit silly to be constrained by that rule, even when it would be an obvious pick.
Well, I took it for you, so you didn't have to lose your indie rock cred.
Yeah. It's probably more of a risk where the album is actually released. This is just hidden on Bandcamp. It's not even on the streaming services. So I think it's even less of a problem to play track one in those cases.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah, I was looking back. Comet Gain in store, the last time I saw them, November 2019, at a record store in London. I don't think they've played in London since. If they have, that passed me by. So come on, Comet Gain, get back to the live arena.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you reported on that one. I remember you talking about that, the record store gig.
I think it was a shambolic mess. I must find my first appearance after that and listen to what I said about it. It was just, yeah, chaotic, I think, as usual.
All right, one more track. What's it going to be?
What have we got? You picked one, I picked four. Let's try eight. She's waiting at the corner.
Rogers in the faded Christmas light. Kathy Rogers, well, I hope you feel alright. In the floater, on the platform, in the park, breaking their hearts. She's waiting on the corner. She's waiting on the corner. In her best dress, just waiting for the past to disappear at last. To disappear at last. Kathy Rogers at the party, Kentish Town. Kathy Rogers. A sob and a bob, don't fall down. Don't remind me of those crazy days. She's waiting on the corner. She's waiting on the corner with her best dress. She's waiting for the future.
Yeah, another solid pick, Comet Gain. I guess I think that just the lo-fi nature of it, there's something about like the vocals are too upfront and not really great sounding the way they're recorded, you know? That could be a really good song with a better recording. So, but it's good, right? It's a good indication. Maybe we'll see more from them. And did you see on Bandcamp there's a gig listed?
You're supporting Kelly Stoltz.
At the Shacklewell Arms?
Yeah, I'm inclined. Hmm. The next day we have to go to Leeds to see the Manic Street Preachers. I say have to. It gives you a sense of my enthusiasm.
That's right. That's right.
The London Suede, as you would know them, is a co-headline tour, Suede and the Manic Street Preachers.
Huh?
I may go because Comet Gain are opening. I could possibly go and then not get home too late before the Leeds trip. But we'll see. It's on my radar. I wouldn't want to miss Kelly Stoltz. That's the thing. If you're there, you want to stay for that. So it's difficult.
Right. Yeah. I think Kelly Stoltz would be good.
Yeah. Huh.
All right. Time will tell. We've got 3 months to figure that one out.
Thank you. So. I'll see what I can do.
All right. Did we do justice to the Comet Gain album?
Yeah. I think it came off a little better than I feared, actually. Yeah, I think so.
All right. It's time to get rocking. I need to get rocking, but I won't get rocking until we complete this.
It's the bonus song of the week. It's the bonus song of the week.
All right, I'll do mine. And it might be terrible, but kind of fun anyway. I ran across a social media thing where, you know how people are always trying to get discussions going, like on Twitter. I'm going to call it Twitter, even though it's X, I guess. But they try to get discussions going by just saying, hey, you know, what are four albums you're listening to right now? And it's like, okay, what are the essential, you know, and then it always draws people in. And sometimes I think it's ridiculous. Sometimes it's interesting, though, if you have a person whose taste you really like. Well, somebody got into this discussion, a song or album, whatever, that you listened to when you were 15 years old. And it sounded like they're trying to be cool, like they actually listened to cool music when they were 15. Now, maybe there are some of the, you know, people like our correspondents and listeners, they're cool enough. Maybe they really did listen to cool music when they were 15. But I didn't. When I was 15, the music I was listening to would not call it cool. Except, you know, maybe I liked some cool top 40 hits and stuff. But here's an example of what I just loved when I was 15. I'm going to play this and then we'll talk about it just a little bit. Yeah, that's what I loved when I was 15. So, on one hand, it's kind of rockin', and the rockin' component of it, I'm not embarrassed by, but I loved a song when I was 15 called "Lickin' a Promise." So, and that's old Aerosmith when they were actually a rock band. So I will say that. And the album was called "Rocks." It was like one of my favorite albums as a teenager. So. There you go.
I wasn't entirely sure if it was Kiss, Led Zeppelin, or something else.
Right.
But Aerosmith, yeah.
Yeah, same general. I think there was a Kiss album that was also one of my favorites when I was 15. So, yeah. There you go. Craig, I'm sure you have something of much better taste for your bonus song of the
week.
Well,
it's going to be Comet Gain again, I'm afraid. So those who are still listening will now turn off.
All right.
Do we have the ability to play from YouTube?
Sure. Yeah, I think so.
Great. In that case, I'll just ping you this link across on WhatsApp.
Let's see if it works.
Let's try. The listeners are part of the experiment. And then if it's working, let me know and I will briefly introduce it.
It is, in fact, working. I have the link.
This is The Fists in the Pocket by Comet Gain, back when they were more rock and roll. Do you want me to say more? I'm amazed. I probably have played this on the podcast before, but make no excuses, because for a song as good as this, you could play it every day. So Comet Gain, Fist in the Pocket, an absolute classic.
If you're looking for me, I'll be down there on the beach. If you're searching for me, just like a dream, I'll be somewhere out of reach. The fist in my pocket, the fist in my pocket, sinking into the sea. If you're looking for me, if you're looking at me, I'll be down here on the beach. I remember.
remember, I forget. A family I called my friends, feeding high in western sky. To be the bold against the shy, full of fire and midnight cries. When you feel the same as me, but you don't know what it means. Takes a lot to be that dude and drive that long and sing that loud. And beat so hard, touch so soft, and feel so much and dream so bright. Kiss that fast and wait so slow, never die, feel alone. My baby's sitting at the bar, she reaches out but I'm too far. It's been blown up in his car, torn his life all up too far. And I can't take it anymore, I can't take this anymore, I can't take it anymore. If you're looking for me, if you're looking for me, I'll be down there on the beach. If you're searching for me, just like a dream, I'll be somewhere out of reach. The fish in the pocket, the fish in the pocket, sinking into the sea. If you're looking for me, if you're looking for me, I'll be down there on the beach. Molded by the this and that, and taken in by too much crap. The silver 60s sometimes seems like fake debris or faker strings. Leaves that build up in my friends, hallucinations never end. Coffee grind, so we might talk and go for walks, write with chalk. Nothing changes in our lives, nothing changes in our lives. And I can't take it anymore, I can't take it anymore. They're freaking out on the dance floor, they can't take it anymore.
Yeah, Comet Gain, and that's solid. I don't remember that song. It's the video link says it's from 17 years ago.
Flipping heck. Oh my. Yeah, I'm not gonna do damage to the song by trying to describe why I like it. People can make their own view, but I love it.
Yeah, they've got a lot of great stuff in their catalog, so
yeah. I guess it's sad in a way because you dream of them getting back there, but I had a similar conversation with people on Friday evening about music and things. We're out for dinner, a couple of drinks, and you know, nothing great can stay great forever, but that's okay because that's what makes it great in a way. And then something else good comes along, so it's all good in the end.
Right, absolutely. All right, that was totally worthy. All right, I think we've reached the $0 mark, which means we can call it another week for the podcast. And I have to say, I honestly don't know if we're going to have a podcast next week because I'm going to be gone the entire weekend starting on Friday. So unless I whip together some quick thing that will be haphazard, it'll be either a haphazard podcast or we'll skip a week. And boy, like I was telling you guys, I downloaded just on Friday this week, I downloaded 7 albums. So it's like, I got to start listening to some of these now.
Yeah,
so
I bet. In the Cage of a Hateful Bird by Enjoyable Listen's new release was not even among them. So there's more out there even.
Right. Right. It wasn't one of the 7. So, all right. Well, we'll get to work on listening because that's important. Mainly because it's enjoyable.
Of course. It's not work. It's fun.
Yep. Okay. Thanks, Craig. I hope the continued painting at the Ipswich Bureau goes well.
Thank you.
We will talk to everyone again, either next week or the week after, with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.